Okay, good morning everyone. Welcome to another week, part four of the series that we're going through, based on the book Life in Balance by the Rabbi Raphael Polkowitz and his son Dr. David Polkowitz. Before we start, I just want to just do a quick review of what we did last week before we go into the chapter of today. So last week we discussed patience, which was we explained was a fundamental and a foundational concept, because frustration and impatience often come from being stuck in who we are and a bit of arrogance and sort of stands in the way. So learning to be patient, learning to understand things, understand different perspectives, tolerance and so on is very foundational. Now we talked about two types of patience last week. Short-term patience, where we're talking about the everyday hassles, and then long-term patience, which is about long-term challenge, where we're able to stay the course and stay with it and work it through. Which Dr. Polkowitz explained, that's the two ideas in Hebrew called mitinut and savlanut. So mitinut means being measured, that whatever we do is sort of measured. We think, we pause, being deliberate. Like in Pirkei Avot, it says, the heve metunim badin, be deliberate and cautious in justice. And savlanut is what we call in modern Hebrew patience, but it's talking about more long-term, from the word sovel, to carry, to tolerate, to put up with, so to speak. So we talked about looking at patience or developing patience as when things come our way which are challenge our patience. We need to look at it as a nisayon, a test. The word nisayon coming from the word to lift up, as we said last week. So in terms of strategy, we talked about being aware of triggers, exercising mindfulness, which is more sort of a focus, which also is very foundational, as we see today as well, and to the ability to learn with patience, to study something slowly, to analyze something slowly, give ourselves time to look at something properly so we can notice the nuances and we can sort of learn to fully understand and appreciate what we're engaging with. Okay, for some reason the mute is not working properly. I'm just going to make sure everyone's muted. Give me 1 second. Okay, should be okay. Okay, so today we're going to take a chapter in the book which is called Zrizut, the personality trait of Zrizut. What is Zrizut? It's a few things, but it's often translated as alacrity. Alacrity meaning being brisk and cheerful and ready, doing something with a certain amount of speed, eagerness, not procrastinating, not being, it's the opposite of procrastination, the opposite of apathy, and so on and so forth. So it's a concept of getting things done, jumping into things, not wasting time, not delaying, zrizut, alacrity, being ready and cheerful, confident, enthusiastic about doing something and not delaying it. Now, the trait of Zrizut is associated with many benefits. It's also quite a foundational concept, right? So in the beginning of the chapter, he quotes a piece from Orchat Tzadikim. Orchat Tzadikim. Orchat Tzadikim is a 15th century book of ethics. We're not quite sure exactly who the author was, but it's a very famous book of ethics. Where he talks about the trait of zeal, of zrizut, similar sort of thing. And he says that it's a foundation of all other traits, and he talks about this concept being an ornament to all other traits that perfects them all. In other words, when we associate zrizut, alacrity, with other things, it enhances, it spices it up, it makes everything else so much more worthwhile, so much more purposeful, so much deeper. And then he quotes the famous passage from the Ethics of the Fathers from Pirkei Avot, which is quoted by the Tur. The Tur was Rabbi Jacob ben Asher. He wrote the first sort of organized, structured Shulchan Aruch, code of Jewish law, running through the day of a Jew's life and all different mitzvot and so on, and how we should do them, a practical guide to Jewish observance. And at the very, very beginning of the Tur, in the first paragraph, he opens the entire Shulchan Aruch with the very famous passage from Pirkei Avot, which says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema said, "Be bold as a leopard, light as an eagle, swift as a deer, strong as a lion to do the will of your Father in heaven. Right, that's how we start the day. We get up, we're ready to go, we're like a lion, and we're swift as a deer. In other words, we're going to be swift, we're not going to put things off, we're not going to procrastinate, we're going to get onto things, we're going to have the concept of zrizut. Now, he doesn't mention this in the chapter, but I wanted to share with you some other areas in halakha or Jewish practice or Jewish literature where we find this concept of zrizut. So there's a principle in the Talmud, it's called zrizin makdimin lemitzvot. Those who practice alacrity always do a mitzvah early on. So for example, we have a concept that a baby is born, a baby boy, you're supposed to circumcise him on the eighth day. The entire eighth day is kosher, it's perfectly legitimate to circumcise the child any time during the day. However, halakha says on the eighth day, if you're able to make zrizut, do it early in the morning to show your enthusiasm and alacrity to get onto this mitzvah. Same thing with, for example, on Sukkot, we have the mitzvah of shaking the lulav. So shaking the lulav is something you can do the entire day, yet we know from great authors and great tzaddikim and great righteous people that they were particularly careful on getting up early in the morning to do it at the first possible opportunity to show their enthusiasm. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Bardichev, it is told that he would stay up all night on the first night of Sukkot because he was so excited to do the mitzvah and he didn't want it delayed in any way on Sukkot morning. He would stay up the whole night until it became dawn or sunrise and he would right away go quickly to perform the mitzvah of zrizut. There's a concept which says that if an opportunity for a mitzvah comes about, it says in the Talmud, mitzvah haba liyadcha, a mitzvah that comes your way, al tachmitzena, don't let it turn sour. In other words, don't leave it. If it's an opportunity to do something now, get it done. Do it now because it's an opportunity. Don't let it sour. Don't let it become chametz. That's the word really that it's using. Now, there's also a famous thing which I'm sure a number of years ago I've shared this with you about the zrizut of Avraham Avinu, Abraham. So the idea goes like this, that we know that one of the greatest things, one of the greatest tests that Abraham had, which we still talk about today, in fact, coming up soon is Rosh Hashanah. During the prayers of Rosh Hashanah, we talk about the Akedah a lot. We get a lot of mileage out of it. We ask God to remember that binding of Isaac, to remember the test that Abraham had to engage in that and that he didn't hold back and he took his son and he was ready to sacrifice his son and so on and so forth. And it's always considered the most amazing thing that Avraham Avinu did. And some of the commentaries ask the question, is it that amazing? I mean, after all, yeah, of course it's amazing, but after all, it's Avraham Avinu, a righteous person. After all, God himself revealed himself to Abraham and asked him a favor, asked him specifically, directly, with clarity, one-on-one, local call, to take his son and to bring him to the altar. No, is it only Avraham Avinu that can pass such a test? Is it only Avraham Avinu who's able to say, I'm going to do it? After all, he was a private audience with God, a revelation of God himself asking Avraham Avinu personally to take his son Yitzchak. So why is it so great? And there are many explanations, and one of them is that it wasn't that he took his son to the Akedah. It was the zrizut, the alacrity. He said, Hineini, here I am, I'm ready to do whatever you tell me to do. And then when God tells him what to do, it says, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. Avraham Avinu got up early in the morning. Didn't delay, didn't say, I'm going to do it because I know I have to. Another 2 hours, my son. No, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. He got up early in the morning. That's unbelievable in such a context. So we learn that the whole idea, the whole strength of the story of the binding of Isaac was in fact his zrizut, his alacrity, his haste in which he did it. So that's a little bit about the concept of zrizut. The lesson for us, of course, is that it's a very foundational trait not to procrastinate, to do things when they come about, to be enthusiastic and almost rushing to do something good. That's the concept of zrizut. It shows enthusiasm. It symbolizes our passion. It symbolizes so much about our fire within ourselves to be able to do the right thing, to be able to perform something good, to do a favor for another person, to do a mitzvah between us and God, and so on and so forth. That's the That's the trait of Zrizut. However, what a large part of the chapter deals with is a very, very important thing. And this is very foundational. There's a passage in the Talmud, in the Tractate of Psachim, that says that some people act with Zrizut, some people act with alacrity, and they get rewarded, they profit. Others act with Zrizut and suffer a loss. Why? Because, as Dr. Pelkowitz explains, based on the writings of the ethics, the masters of ethics, there's something that must come together with Zrizut, and that's called Zehirut, caution, measuredness. Now, let's just unpack that for a little bit. You see, when we really want to do something, in Hebrew, the word to want to do, is ratzon, to have a ratzon, to have a will. So it's brought down that the word ratzon comes from the word rutz, to run. The more you want to do something, the more you run to do it. However, just to have zrizut is problematic. Why? Because together with zrizut, you need caution, you need measuredness, and you need grounding. Otherwise, if we get ourselves only in the mode of zrizut, which contains a certain element of being quick, of rushing, then we do what we're rushing to also in a rushed way. And we tend to get things done quickly, superficially, lack of attention to detail, thinking about other things, being distracted at the same time, rushing to something else, all because of the trait of zrizut that we have. Zrizut, alacrity, is incredibly important, but haste, rushing, is the detrimental. And therefore, how it works is, we have this beautiful trait which we need to inculcate, which is called zrizut. But zrizut must come together with zehirut. Alacrity must come together with caution. Now, this is true very often, and we find this with lots of things. Now, the truth is, it's true with everything. You know, we talk a lot about it, that chesed needs gevura, gevura needs chesed. You know, every extreme emotion is no good. That's true. But there are certain times where you see it very, very in an emphasized way, and it always must come with a combination. Chesed, at the end of the day, can sometimes be just pure chesed. And that can have a place. Not always. If it's extreme and it's ongoing, it'll end up problematic. But it can be. But sometimes certain things must have a combination. In other words, it's like certain medicines you take, it must be a cocktail of two things together. Otherwise, it doesn't work, right? Where do we find this? We've talked about this before. I'll just give you an example so it's clear. We've talked about the Sefirot, the seven emotions of a human being, the different triangles. And one of the the left, the right, the middle, but one of the triangles of left and right emotions is something we call Netzach and Hod. Netzach can be translated as ambition, Hod as humility. And we've talked about this concept that ambition is such an important thing. It brings growth. Ambition brings aspiration. It brings growth. And ambition is actually good ambition. Is a very critical part in the growth of the human being. But ambition almost always is destructive and detrimental unless it is combined with the left, with the antidote to ambition, which is humility, hod. And those two things on their own are no good. When a person is just humble, they're always standing back, always letting everyone else go first, always feeling unworthy or undeserving or not qualified to do something, you never get anything done and you doubt yourself and you're insecure. Growth comes from Netzach. I'm going to win this war. I'm going to overcome. I'm going to be victorious. I'm going to be ambitious. I'm going to aspire to great heights. I'm going to have healthy competition or healthy aspiration. And yet when that happens on its own, the ambition tends to become destructive. It tends not to take into account the success of others. It tends to belittle or undermine others along the way. Healthy ambition, true ambition, can only be successful as good as it is. It can only be successful if it's balanced with hod, if it's balanced with humility, right? That's a very good example of where you see that. Similarly, Zrizut, we're talking about today, this concept of being so enthusiastic, so we rush to do something good. We're quick to get in there and not procrastinate and do a mitzvah, do something worthwhile, do a favor for someone else, is only good and only worthwhile and only valuable when it's tempered, when it's balanced together with something we call zehirut, which is caution, deliberation. Once again, going back to the Orcha Tzadikim, that master of ethics, that work and ethics, he says like this. He says that Zrizut depends, this is brought down in the chapter, about the state of a person's heart. Meaning, when a person is very focused on something, he'll get it done. But true Zrizut, he says, means that you get it done because you're very focused on that thing. It's really, I'll just read it to you because it actually becomes the very ancient version of what we call today mindfulness, right? He says, when a person, let me read you the whole chapter. He says, in his introduction to a chapter on Zrizut, he explains that true Zrizut depends upon the state of a person's heart. When a person frees his heart of all other thoughts that reside in it and seizes upon one thought, then he will undoubtedly be a zealot in its execution. And then Dr. Polkowitz continues, it is of note that recent psychological research has found numerous benefits that result in mindful engagement in tasks. In other words, living in the Zrizut can come from two places. Alacrity or being quick can come from two places. It can come from a very fragmented person and a very unsettled person and a very rushed person. Yes, rushes to do something, but thinking about something else, and has got what we call pizur hanefesh, the fragmentation of the soul. It's a distracted, fragmented people. There are many people who are very distracted, very fragmented, very all over the place, and they're not procrastinators. They get everything done. They volunteer for everything. They have a try. They take a bash at everything that comes their way and get nothing done properly. Why? They're full of Zrizut, but it's negative Zrizut. It's Zrizut coming from fragmentation. It's Zrizut coming from being all over the place. In fact, it's Zrizut coming from having a personality of being quick, but a personality that has no self-control. Because focusing comes with control. So that type of Zrizut is a problem. It's pure Zrizut, it's pure alacrity, it's pure rushing, but it's just rushing. It's rushing that coming from distraction, coming from fragmentation. True Zrizut, explains the Orcha Tzadikim, actually comes from a different place altogether. It comes because it's combined with zehirut, it's combined with being cautious, focused, and self-controlled, so that you can leave everything else out and you're very focused. The Baditcher Rebbe, when he stayed up a whole night on Sukkot because he wanted to perform the mitzvah of the lulav and etrog, is because he was focused on that. He put his energy into that. He was focused on that moment when he'd be able to do that mitzvah of lulav and etrog. And therefore, when the moment came in the morning that he was able to do the mitzvah, he rushed to do the mitzvah. But when he did the mitzvah, he was totally focused because his alacrity came from actually being focused, not from being fragmented. It came because I'm focused on this, and if I get down to it, I don't leave it, I'm fully absorbed. A very different type. It's a often confused concept. Not everyone that's quick is a good thing. You have to be focused, not quick. And if you focus, you don't procrastinate. You don't leave it going. You don't delay it. You get in there and you do it. But when you do it, when Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Barditcher performed the mitzvah of lulav and etrog, he did it slowly. He made the blessing slowly. He picked up the lulav with love and focus. He picked up the etrog. He put them together. He shook it. He prayed to God. He did it slowly. Why? Because he wasn't rushed. He was focused. There's a very big difference between being rushed or being focused. I think I mentioned this before, but a very ancient, also I think 13th century or 15th to 14th century, a great Kabbalist called Rabbeinu Bachaya, he developed a very short prayer. He said, Hashem yatzileinu mipizur hanefesh, may God save me from the fragmentation of the soul. More recently, there's a famous Hasidic Rebbe called the Sochatchover Rebbe. I've actually quoted him a while. And the second Sochatchover Rebbe called Reb Shmuel Brosnenstein. And he writes, he says like this. He says that to truly be free, talks about freedom, he talks about going out of Mitzrayim. He says to truly be free means that your mind is focused. A person who's fragmented and all over the place and doing everything all the time is actually trapped in his or her own personality, not able to control and compartmentalize and put one thing in a box and focus on one thing now, another thing later, right? And he said that brings self-incarceration and it's not being freedom. Freedom means to have the ability to have the ability to focus, to have the ability to do something properly, be pnimiyut, really internalize it, doing with deliberation, with cautiousness, with love, with focus. And that comes together with the concept of zrizut. And therefore, when we talk about developing this concept of zrizut and not delaying things and not procrastinating and having the passion to rush to do something good, we have to be careful that it doesn't turn into being a rush personality. That it's a zrizut that comes from focus, deep focus and mindful engagement where we focus on something, therefore we get it done, but we do it with deliberation and we do it not by multitasking, and we do it with the sufficient care and time and focus that it requires in order to maximize the engaging in that particular experience in the best possible way. So just to quote a line from you from the book, he says, the zariz, which means the person who has rizut, mindfully seizes the moment and gives whatever he is doing his full energy and attention. You see how those both things work together. He seizes a moment quickly. He doesn't put it off. Opportunity comes away, he does it, but he does it mindfully, so he gives it the full attention while he's doing it, and that's not called rushing. So he's quick, but not rushed. It's a very, very big difference. You know, I'll just share with you something. I think I've shared this to you before, but I'll just share with you where I saw this in emphasized action. And for many years, as I've shared with you before, I had the zchut, the merit to study and observe the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And observed him when he came public talking or when he gave dollars for charity on a Sunday or when he spoke to children, whatever the case is. The Rebbe, I remember, was an ultimate zariz. An ultimate person who never wasted a second, never. Never put off anything. So much so was to an extreme that when he would come out, for example, on a Sunday morning to hand out dollar bills for people to give to charity, as was his custom, as soon as he came out of his room and he was at the stand, at the podium when he was doing it, the second he got there, he started giving up. He never actually even, you know, looked around and waited and just to see, you know, get his bearings right. No, as soon as he got there, right away he was doing it. When he walked into shul for davening, he walked briskly. He came, he wasn't going to put it off. He wasn't, never. When he came to a public thing, when he came, he right away started doing what he needed to do. Never wasted a second. And when he finished one thing, he right away went to the next thing. But while he was doing what he was doing, there was never a trace of rushing. If he was talking to a small child, there was like nothing else existed in the world. It was almost like he was giving all his time, but he finished and then right away next thing. When he finished, on to the next thing right away. It was rizut. But it was rizut coming from an amazing focus about seizing an opportunity, not procrastinating. But while he was doing it, it was like you think it's a person that has all the time in the world. This is the only thing, it's important now, it's the only thing I'm doing. So that's true rizut. True rizut means to not put things off, but to do the things with full focus, full absorption, full attention, and proper internalization. The Kotzker Rebbe says on what it says in the Shema. Says he explains a little bit. He shares a thought of how these two things come together. You know, there's a verse we say every day in the Shema, where God says "V'hayu hadvarim ha'ele." God says that when you study the words of Torah, these things that I'm giving you today, "Asher anachim mitzavcha hayom," what I'm commanding you to do today. All these things should be on your heart. You should pay attention to them. And the commentators stop and pay attention to this phrase, Asher anachi mitzavcha hayom, what I'm commanding you to do today, because the Shema was said by Moses to the Jewish people 40 years after the Torah was given at Mount Sinai. So what does it mean, I'm commanding you today? So Rashi, the commentator, says that a person should always approach what he's learning as it's something new. It's not something old. It's not something 40 years old. It's something that is something new and fresh and enthusiastic and so on. The Kotzke Rebbe said the following. He said, you know what? It means the following. God is saying, when you get up in the morning and you have an opportunity to study, to learn something, it should be that I'm commanding you to do it today. What does that mean? He says, look at the day, and this is the only day I have to do this. In other words, what I'm studying now, look at it as if I never had an opportunity to study this passage, and I never will. This is the last day. This is it. This is the first and last day that I can study, have the opportunity to do this hour of study. What will be the outcome of such an attitude? An opposite outcome. On the one hand, the outcome would be, let me get right down to it. Let me not waste a second. If this is the only time I have to do it, if it's the only opportunity, then let me not waste even a little bit of a second. But it also means if I never have the opportunity to revisit this passage again, let me give it my full attention. Let me do it slowly. Let me really learn it properly. Let me think what I'm doing. Let me absorb the message. That's true alacrity. That's true zrizut. That I look at the day, I look at the moment, I look at this experience, and it's the only time it will ever happen. What that brings is full focus. Full focus means I don't put off, I'm not distracted, I don't delay, I'm not going to get involved in something else in the meantime. I'm only going to do this, get down to it right away, but I'm going to do it with my full focus and my full attention. What prevents us from having zrizut? So, of course, the opposite of zrizut is procrastination, delaying things, not being focused, not getting down to the tasks I know are important. Why does that happen? So, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, the author of the Mesilat Yesharim, also one of the great works of ethics, of Musar, called Path of the Just, he says, and he connects the two traits of atzlut and anxiety, laziness and worry. Often, we put things off because we're scared to do it. We're scared of failure. We're scared it won't be done correctly. Lack of confidence. Procrastination often comes from a trait called laziness, and that's a personality. That's one of the negative personalities that God gave some people more than others, because He gave us all challenging parts of our personality, and some people are blessed with this concept of atzlut, which is hard for them to get going, but also connected with the concept of anxiety. I'm scared to do it. And he says what happens is often the two feed onto each other. Atzlut, laziness, brings more anxiety. If you don't do something, the more you don't do it, the more anxious you are to do it. Which is why putting off something, delaying something, not getting onto it, actually just brings to delaying it more, right? And the more we get down to something, the less lazy we become, and the more the anxiety disappears. And that's one of the strategies. One of the strategies of building up zrizut is just to get down and do things. Action. He brings here in his book a beautiful thing. He says, there was once a Hasidic Rebbe that said the following. He said, there are two things in life about which a person is forbidden to worry. The first is a problem that cannot be solved. The second is a problem that could be solved. What does it mean? With regard to the problem that cannot be corrected or cannot be solved, why do you need to worry? It's not going to accomplish anything. If it can't be solved, it can't be solved. It's out of your control. Don't worry. With regard to the second, that if something, it's a problem that could be solved, why worry? Just do it. What do you mean by why worry? Just do it. Because if you do it, you have less anxiety. Anxiety is normally only before we do something. When we do it, when we confront it and we do it, we remove the anxiety. So tackling laziness, fighting the laziness, means fighting the anxiety. And there's only really one way to do this, is to learn to focus and to learn to get things done. We'll talk about that more in a moment. It's a little bit connected to what the Jews did before they got the Torah at Mount Sinai. When they said, Na'aseh v'nishma, we're just going to do and listen later. Meaning we're going to understand later. We're not going to process. Now, processing is very important. Now, sometimes we talk about Na'aseh v'Nishma in the context of their commitment, of their surrender, of their obedience, but there's another layer to it. It's about a strategy of just getting things done. Don't process too much. Don't overthink too much. Action is the only way to fight procrastination. It's the only way to fight lack of alacrity, lack of zrizut. Building up zrizut means we just have to train ourselves to get things done, and we'll talk more about that in a few moments. Where does zrizut come from? What is the other part of zrizut? So we find that zrizut comes from a certain enthusiasm, a passion, a fire that burns within us. It's not just about the ability to focus, it's also about the ability not to be apathetic, to have a passion, right? So really there are two things that stand in the way of zrizut. One is anxiety, procrastination, and the other is the concept of fire, passion. And we find this, by the way, amazingly, this is so foundational that we find this in leadership. And he brings it in the book, he brings it in the chapter, a beautiful idea. He says that we know that when God said to Moshe Rabbeinu that he should appoint Joshua, right? He should appoint Joshua as the next leader, Yehoshua. He said, take for yourself Yehoshua, the son of Nun, Ish Asher Ruach Bo, a man who has a spirit, Asher Ruach Bo, he has a spirit. And place your hands upon him and confer upon him the ability to lead. How does the Torah describe Yehoshua? How does the Torah describe the next leader of the Jewish people after Moses? Ish Asher Ruach Bo, a man that has a Ruach, he has a spirit. So the commentators point out an interesting thing. The Torah does not describe him as an intellectual, as a smart person, as a person who can solve problems, as a person who's clever. But a person who's a Ruach Bo, he's got a spirit. And some of the master of ethics tell us that a Ruach means a person who's control, a person who has a high level of passion, but knows how to channel it properly, knows how to focus. That's what Ish Asher Ruach Bo means. Again, the same idea we said before. It's the idea to be very passionate, because without passion, nothing gets done. But it's also the ability to channel that passion, to focus that passion. That's what Ish Asher Ruach Bo means, a man who has the spirit, but in control of the spirit. He's got zest, he's got a fire, but he's in control of that spirit and able to channel it and put it in the right place. And the truth, that's an amazing lesson for everyone, because it shows us that the idea of focused passion is the key to inspiring other people. You know, as parents, as teachers, as friends, as people in any form of leadership, as we've talked about so much before, that every person has a circle of influence. How do we inspire others? Not by saying droshes. Not by, well, it includes it, but not only by explaining things. Not only by preaching, not only by explaining passion, showing excitement, but focused passion. Good passion, not distracted passion, but real passion, real focused passion. That's how you lead. Zrizut, the fire that means I'm excited to do this. It's infectious, it's contagious. The Ish Asher Ruach Bo, and that's why when God chooses a leader, he chooses the leader that Ish Asher Ruach Bo, he chooses the one who has that passion. And therefore he will get things done. He will be excited about it. He'll have the enthusiasm, the excitement, but in a focused, deliberate, cautious way. You know what's interesting? There's an amazing medrash. Because focused passion, as opposed to distracted passion, has another component to it. See, when we combine zrizut with zehirut, when our alacrity, when our excitement, when our rush to do something good comes because we're in control and we're fully focused, and therefore we engage in it mindfully and slowly and doing it properly, what that also means is that we pay attention to detail. People who do things quickly because they rushed, you'll notice they don't pay attention to detail. People who do things properly or in a quick way because they're focused, pay amazing attention to detail. And going back to Yehoshua, who was a person who had ruach, he had the spirit and the zest to go for it and to not rush and to not delay and to get things done, and therefore he was an infectious leader. The Medrash tells us a fascinating thing. The Medrash says that God said to Moses, I'm picking Yehoshua because Yehoshua had tremendous connection to you, Moshe Rabbeinu. He showed you amazing respect. and he did something amazing. What is, and therefore he should reap his reward. Now, the Medrash says that when God told Moshe Rabbeinu why I'm going to give the reward to Joshua to become the leader, it's also a reward, and he quotes a phrase, and he says, the phrase says that the protector of a fig tree will eat its fruit. What does it mean? So he said, the Medrash says that in the desert, I suppose they had people used to come every day to Moshe Rabbeinu to learn Torah. So it says that Joshua would rise up, he would get up very early in the morning, wasn't lazy at all, and he would remain late at night in the study hall, in the house of assembly, to do what? He would arrange the benches so people should have where to sit and hear the shiur. He would stay later to put away the benches, to put away the stuff, to clean up, so that people should have a place to learn properly, and that the place of learning should have the proper respect and dignity. And therefore, the protector of the fig tree will reap its benefits, says God, and he's the next leader. What does this all mean? It's very nice to reward someone who did a nice act, but doesn't mean necessarily he's a good leader. He has to be worthy, but it's all really the same thing. What kind of expression is this? Someone who eats the fig tree or protects the fig tree will reap its benefit. How does a fig tree grow? Or how does any tree grow for that matter? It needs first a seed to be planted. It needs to be carefully nurtured. The details are very important. The direction in which the tree is growing is really important. The nutrients that the tree is getting is really important. Protecting a fig tree means that you don't just plant a fig tree and goodbye. Protecting a fig tree means you don't put it off, but you nurture it. When you do it, you're fully there. And you're nurturing it one step at a time, one detail at a time. That's the greatness of Yehoshua, that he was not lazy at all, and he was passionate. He had a ruach, but his ruach manifested itself in such a focused way that he was also able to stay behind and to get up early to do things that seem unimportant, to attend to details like making sure the study hall is orderly and the chairs are put back properly and things are looking orderly. That's how the passion translated it. Passion doesn't always translate like that. Sometimes when a person is so passionate, it translates it to big things, save the world, I'm passionate, I'm going to fix the world, but you don't pay attention to detail. If you don't pay attention to detail, the rush, the alacrity becomes just one big rushing, and it becomes things that aren't done effectively and properly and efficiently and in a proper methodical way. So it's the passion which needs to be a focused passion, and therefore it manifests itself not just rushing to do it, but when you're doing it actually slowly. And what's very interesting is that these two things are not easy. It's like the netzach and the hod, like the ambition and the humility, they're very opposite. Being quick but being focused is almost opposite. And that's the ability of the human being, and that's the challenge, not the challenge or the opportunity, of absorbing and building up this concept of alacrity, of zrizut, to have the ability to make sure the zrizut comes from the right place. And that's, it's zrizut with zahirut, it's alacrity with caution, and it's coming from a place of focus rather than a place of distraction and fragmentation. It's a delicate balance, but one has to know how to do it properly. There was a great 19th century leader of German Jewry. His name was Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger. And he comments on this combination, and he comments on the fact that in the Torah we find different descriptions of how we describe a human being. Two of the very famous ones is we find the word Ish on the one hand, and we find the word Adam on the other hand. What is the two descriptions? So Adam, you know, the first man was called Adam. Why? Because Adam refers to where the person comes from. Adam is the same word as Adama, taken from the ground, which is also the name of the human being that highlights the vulnerability of the human being, the weaknesses of the human being, humbleness, humility. Right? It's the reminder that a person comes from the Adama. The person comes from the earth. That we're mortal, that we're limited, that we're finite. That's the term Adam. On the other hand, The other word that describes a human being often in the Torah is ish. Ish. Ish means the purity of the person. Ish is a feeling of exaltedness, of confidence, of greatness. That's the term ish. Now we know that when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, when the Jewish person left Egypt, when they became free, God said that every person should take a lamb and bring the paschal offering. And the expression that's used there in the pasuk, he says, is ish, each ish should take a lamb. What does it mean? He says, because when the Jews were going out of Egypt, they had to become free. They have to become free of their restrictions. They have to become free of their limitations. They have to become free of the things that hold them back. They have to leave behind their slave mentality, their vulnerability, and they had to assume the status of a noble ish, an ish which is a symbol of nobility. To have the confidence to grow, to get things done, to accomplish greatness. Not to think, no, not to be anxious, not to put it off, not to say, I can't do it, I'm not worthy, I'm not able to, I don't know if I'm qualified, and so on and so forth. So we talk about, on the one hand, a person has to be an ish. By the way, it doesn't say this, but the word ish comes from the same word as aish, the fire, the passion to really move forward. But at the same time, he says, there's another pasuk where it talks about bringing sacrifices in the korbanot, where the Torah says, adam ki yakriv korban. The Adam has to bring a sacrifice to God. Why? Because if you only reveal the ish within you, if you only reveal the nobility, the ability, the confidence, the breaking loose of all vulnerabilities and limitation, and you go for it, and you come, and you're ready to take on huge things, and you become ambitious, you become quick, and you become passionate, you become enthusiastic, it can very easily slip into overconfidence, it can slip into arrogance, and it can slip into distraction of wanting to grab everything, of wanting to achieve everything, and lack of focus, and lack of efficiency, and lack of internalization, and lack of measuredness, and lack of doing things properly, and doing things without attention to detail. And when there's no attention to detail, things fall apart very, very quickly. And therefore he says, together with the ish, and together with becoming free of ourselves, and becoming courageous in order to be really infinite and to get things done and quickly and not reject opportunity to grow and to accomplish greatness, we also have to tap into the Adam, which is the reminder of our vulnerability, the reminder of who we are and where we come from, to have the ability to stop, to focus, to be measured, to make sure we're not hurting everyone else, to make sure we're paying attention to the simple things. Nothing should be beneath us. Nothing should miss our attention, so that we're doing things properly and we're doing things with a proper focus and successfully. Now, of course, the opposite of Zrizut, as much as we need to be careful and cautious, but we have to have Zrizut. And the opposite of Zrizut is apathy, complacency. Apathy means not caring, not getting involved. Either because we're too scared to, or because we don't care. Now we know in our shivras with you before that when the Jews came out of Egypt, they were attacked by Amalek. They had many subsequent wars, but the main war, according to the Torah, is the war of Amalek. And God ultimately says that the worst nation, the worst symbolic evil that the nation of Amalek stood for is Amalek. Why? Many reasons. But one of the reasons is because if you look carefully in the Torah, you'll see that when Amalek attacked the Jewish people, it says, "Asher korcha baderech," which literally means they chanced upon you in the desert and they attacked you. But if you look carefully at the word, it's "Asher korcha." Korcha comes from the word "kar," to be cold, detached, aloof. Amalek symbolizes that tool, that ability to attack someone's passion. Say, cool down, it's not that important, why are you getting so excited? So that's the opposite of Zrizut. And the Torah says that the worst thing for a person is apathy. Apathy means that I just don't care. Apathy means I just don't get involved. In fact, sometimes to get involved in the wrong thing is better than not getting involved altogether, because at least your passion is not dead. Apathy means you're dead. Apathy means we're just not moving. We're not moving, and we can't get anything done. And when we come across things we think we should get done, we become anxious or lazy and we just don't get involved. Apathy means, why should I get involved? Why should I even try? So to do zrizut, to accomplish this rizut, we need first of all to light the fire. Then we have to channel it through being grounded and the zahirut of being cautious. Now, some of the strategies of building up zrizut if we have a problem is first of all to remind ourselves of our own confidence, to understand our ability, to understand the soul that we were given, which is the source of freedom, to understand that really we're free to do much more than we think we can do. And therefore, we shouldn't be anxious to do it. We should understand and remind ourselves every single day that when God gave us back our soul, when we say Modei Ani, because He believes in us and He trusts us, and He gave us back a soul which is the infusion of a godly spark, and a godly spark has infinity to it, so that we are always much more capable than we think we are, and we always have much more potential than we think we have. And therefore we need to grab the opportunity with enthusiasm and with passion to embrace things that maybe otherwise we wouldn't, to destroy and to combat and to confront the apathy that sometimes attacks us. Part of that is to combat the disease of procrastination and just to get things done. And the way, one of the practical ways of doing that is that when we have something that we know that needs to be done and we get overwhelmed or we get anxious, and that's what we keep on putting it off. One of the most effective methods that I've always tried to learn from and heard many years ago and people speak about is what they refer to as the salami method. Cut up the task into slices and just commit yourself to doing one slice now. If your house is in a, this could be even a simple thing, if your house is in a total mess and you have to organize it, which could be a daunting task, decide to just to organize one little corner today to get it done. And the benefits of that are very simple, because we know that, we've said this many times, Acharei ha-ma'asim nimshach ha-levavot, the heart follows the action. Action is very powerful. And also success breeds success. When you do a little part of the task and it gets done, and you see it was done, and you're not and the sky didn't fall down, and you were able to do it, and you did it properly with the proper focus, you motivated and you're driven to do the next slice and to get it done more. So it's about just forcing ourselves. There's no better way. There's no simple strategy to combating apathy and laziness and anxiety. Anxiety with a small a, that is. Right? In other words, the anxiety to get things done and lack of confidence, then just to confront it and actually get it done. Just to do it. And we get to do it, it brings success, breeds success. The other way, of course, is to plan. Planning always helps when we have goals, when we understand what we want to do. Sometimes we're scared to do something because we're not even sure what we want to do. Sometimes when we pause and reflect about what it is that actually we want to do and we set up goals, it also becomes a lot easier than to get it done. So that's the concept of, on the one hand, we have to drive ourselves to develop this very foundational trait of zrizut, of alacrity, but we have to make sure that it comes together with zahirut, with cautiousness, so that it's coming, the passion is coming from a place of focus rather than a place of fragmentation and rushing. So therefore, in conclusion, I wanted to share with you the last final idea that he says here in the chapter. And he says, we know that the Torah that was given to us is often compared to different things. And one of the things we find that Torah is compared to is fire and water. At the very end of the Torah, the portion we read towards the end of the Torah on Simchat Torah says, Mimino esh dat lamo, that God gave us from His right hand the set of laws in fire. That when the Torah was given to us, it was a Torah of fire. On the other hand, we know that in Tanakh, there's the prophet, the famous prophet, who encourages people to satisfy their love for God. And it says there, Horkol tzamei l'chul amayim, all those that are thirsty, go and drink. Meaning if you're thirsty to learn, if you're thirsty to be connected to God, go and drink. And what is he referring to there? He's referring to the study of Torah. Because Torah is like water. And when you drink water, you're able to internalize it. And that's how you satiate your thirst, to be connected to something higher, to be connected to God. So we find fire and water. What is the combination of fire and water? It's exactly this combination. Fire is passion. Fire represents a fiery attitude. Never to rest, never to be complacent, never to be apathetic, to be driven, to be confident, to be ambitious, to be focused on rushing and to do things that are good, to grab the opportunity. That's the fire part of Torah, but that in itself is no good. You need also the water part of the Torah. The water is the calming influence. The water is the grounding influence. Therefore, it's the combination of fire and water that creates a positive attribute of Zrizut, and not one which is fragmented and all over the place, which ultimately means that we don't get things done properly. So we have to be quick, but it's got to be a focused quick and a measured quick. And that's just a couple of thoughts that I wanted to share with you. I thought it was just an interesting perspective, because it's such an important trait, but often misunderstood, because we associate haste sometimes with Zrizut, and haste is not a good thing. So therefore, yes, we have to really get things done quickly, but with the proper focus, the proper mindful engagement, and the proper detail, attention to detail. And it only comes through that combination of Zrizut and Zahirut, which is like the combination of fire and water. So I'll leave it there. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Have a wonderful day, a wonderful week, and hopefully see you next week.
Thank you, Baba.
You're welcome.